Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. Although I do have another road trip this weekend, so I don't know what the hell I'm even thinking about. Hi! We're the fantastic folks. We know we are. From GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy, crazy places and whatnots. You know, you've seen us there. It's a fun thing. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that knows how to start any conversation, it's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Let's just move on. We'd like to talk about chlamydia.
Okay, it's one of those days. Hi. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Don't tire.
If I'd realized you only had 4 hours of sleep, I would have made that your intro. Tell me what happened on this fine, fine day, sir.
In 1833, the first steamship to cross the Atlantic entirely under its own power, the Canadian ship SS Royal William, embarks from Nova Scotia en route to the Isle of Wight.
That should be my rap name, Royal William. 1877, Asaph Hall discovers the moon Phobos in orbit around Mars. There it is.
I've heard you rap. I think it's going to be closer to the Isle of Wight. In 1891, the automobile electric self-starter is patented.
Yeah, you can't even talk in a... bust on my rap. 1896, Bridget Driscoll of Croydon, Surrey becomes the first pedestrian killed by a motor vehicle in Britain while on a terrace in the grounds of the Crystal Palace in London. She was knocked down by a car traveling at 4 miles an hour and died minutes later of head injuries.
Sometimes when I read stories, I lose confidence. 1908, Phantasmagoria, the first fully animated film in history, is exhibited for the first time ever at the Théâtre des Gaumont in Paris. Created by Emile Cole, the two-minute film consists of a stick figure who encounters a variety of line drawings that transform from one figure into another, such as a wine bottle that transforms into a flower. You can watch it on YouTube.
Sounds like Undertale. 1911, an Italian production of Dante's Inferno becomes the first feature film to run with a time of more than an hour released in the U.S.
I think it was called Volcano's Inferno. In 1958, the first lunar probe in history, the U.S. space probe Pioneer Zero, fails when its Thor-Able booster rocket explodes on the launch pad 77 seconds before launch.
1962, at 8:35 GMT, NASA launches the Telstar 1 communications satellite built by AT&T Bell Laboratories from Cape Canaveral, making it the first orbiting international communications satellite. Ooh.
On that same day, a song commemorating the launch of the Telstar 1, the first satellite capable of blah, 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 is released by English surf rock group The Tornadoes. It will go on to top the charts for 3 weeks in November.
And it's probably also on YouTube. 1966, NASA launches the Pioneer 7 probe. It's launched into a solar orbit.
1968, Dr. Ann Wang is granted a patent for the calculating apparatus for using logarithms for mathematical calculations. The component will later become fundamental to computer technology, where all we want to do is watch Wangs.
1970, the Russian space probe Venera 7, which had a Wang, is launched on a mission to Venus. It will become the first spacecraft to successfully transmit data from the surface of another planet.
We're 12. In 1978, the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon is completed.
1982, according to Twin Galaxies, Robert Wyckoff scores a record-setting 1,793,500 points playing Zaxxon by Sega at the Games Galore Arcade in Downey, California.
Same day, same year, the world's first compact disc, CD, is manufactured by Royal Philips Electronics at the PolyGram Recording Company's factory.
1986, Pixar Animation Studios releases its first film, Luxo Jr., directed by John Lasseter. It's got a small desk lamp in it, and that's why you see it every damn time.
1990, Warner Brothers Pictures releases the film My Blue Heaven to theaters in USA. In it, the game The Goonies 2 is played on a Nintendo Entertainment System with the sounds from Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man issuing from it.
2000, in the case of Universal City Studios Incorporated versus Ramirez, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York upholds the constitutionality of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, the first real test of the law. It's evil.
In 2007, at Gen Con, Wizards of the Coast announces the release of the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition tabletop role-playing game in 2008. It'll be the first full new edition in 8 years. The Player's Handbook will be released in May, the Monster Manual will be released in June, and the Dungeon Master's Guide will be released in July. So look forward to this story appearing in May, June, and July of this next year.
Thacko or die. Also that same day, same year, Warner Brothers releases The Invasion, starring Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig, and Jeremy Northern. It's still not as good as the Donald Sutherland one. Birthdays?
Thaisa Farmiga, 23, from American Horror Story, Murder House, Bling Ring, and Mindscape.
Austin Butler is 26, from Zoe 101, Switched at Birth, and Will in the Shannara Chronicles, which I don't think is on anymore.
Don't believe so. Helen McCrory, 49, Narcissa Malfoy in Harry Potter, Hugo, Skyfall, and Peaky Blinders.
David Conrad is 50, from Ghost Whisperer.
Ghost. John Marshall Jones, 55, Casualties of War, White Men Can't Jump, and Sergeant Bilko. I love Sergeant Bilko.
That was a decent little film. Sean Penn is 57 from Taps, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Colors, Being John Malkovich, and many other things. I'm not going to mention the Three Stooges. God, that would have been Madonna. So great. Would have been so. I'm not definitely not mentioning Madonna.
Robert De Niro, 74 years old. Remember, kids, back when he was in good movies like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Midnight Run, The Untouchables.
No longer with us. Born this date in 1786, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, American soldier and politician.
Man, he was an alcoholic. He killed himself at a bar when he was really young. In 1918, Evelyn Anchors, The Wolfman, Invisible Man's Revenge.
1920, Maureen O'Hara from the 1939 Hunchback of Notre Dame, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Quiet Man.
1930, Harvey Bennett, screenwriter for Star Trek, $6 Million Man, and The Bionic Woman.
John Estrue is crying right now because you said Harvey. 1933, Glenn Corbett, Zefram Cochrane in the Star Trek original series episode, and Lincoln on Route 66.
1951, Richard Hunt. He was a Muppeteer who performed Scooter, Statler, Janice, Beaker, and Sweetums.
1968, Andrew Koenig. He was Boner on Growing Pains. And he was the Joker in the incredibly, fantastically, wonderfully made fan film Batman, Dead End.
On television today on CBS, we've got a new Big Brother and Zoo.
On ABC, it's a new boy band. Then it's Ops versus Sci-Fi / Fantasy on Battle of the Network Stars and The Gong Show.
NBC has a new The Wall, SNL, Summer Weekend Update, and The Night Shift.
Fox has a chant we should all use. It's a new Beat Shazam, Love Connection.
I thought they were going to be gone in 2 and 2. CW, new Penn and Teller Fool Us, and Who's Line?
On Disney XD, it's a new episode of The Iggins Show.
E has a former recluse who gets new breasts on a new botched.
On FXX, because they keep saying breasts and we're 12. On FXX, The Simpsons, Marge versus the monorail. Marge becomes Bart's teacher, and then Lisa's got a bully teacher.
FXM has The Fault in Our Stars.
IFC has the incredibly horrible film Elektra. Oh, dear God, horrible.
Spike has Adrian arriving at the mall with news on a new The Mist.
That's an action-packed show, man. You have no idea. Guys, guess what they did today? Guess what got tweeted? On Sci-Fi Channel, they're showing not only Blade Runner the theatrical cut, but then Blade Runner the final cut, the 10-year anniversary director's cut. F that.
TNT is one of my favorite movies of all time. The A-Team, one of the best reboots ever.
Such a should not have worked at all, but God did it. TBS, it's a new episode of The Guest Book.
That's because they love it when a plane comes together. True TV has a new Impractical Jokers.
On USA, Teresa goes on the run to Camellia in a new Queen of the South. I don't know what any of that means, but we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because Detective Amber Cross, a crisis negotiator, has to ignore her mounting personal problems when she's called in to negotiate a troubled young genius after he hijacks a loaded school bus. Ileana Huffman and Barry Flatman star in I Have Your Children.
Proving that they've officially run out of titles for crappy movies on the Lifetime Network.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
All right, so today, no Abby, no Chad. Look, is the actually famous Billy Flynn and Marcy Miller on vacation again or something? Should we have waited to take the GRD vacation this week? Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
And no pithy comments about a lack of them. But if you'd like to drop some in there, please do. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Pithy. It's a good word. Make something pithy. One more time. Pithy.
Haven't been listening to the RevCast? Here's what you're missing.
The sharks have an economy based on gold.
Apparently.
You have a shark like decked out like Mr. T with the bling all over.
Oh, now I want to see that. I want somebody to draw a picture of a shark with a mohawk. I pity them.
I'm done. The RevCast by RevolutionSF.com. Available at RevolutionSF.com, iTunes, and part of the ESO network.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You are damn right you are. Unless you hit stop, in which case you didn't hear that. So we're still right, technically. Welcome. It's your Weekend Eve edition.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
Video games develop hand-eye coordination and make kids into better human beings.
You shotten herring! You are a scurvy louse. You are a slop bucket. You are a pus sludge.
Why do you have to read that in here? I'm trying to play a game.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Because they enjoy doing it. What are you going to get fragged in today, sir?
Appropriately enough, a game called Chicken Wiggle. From the team behind Mutant Muds and CEO Drifter comes a new 2D platformer starring a chicken and a worm for Nintendo 3DS and iOS. The game will include a level editor and levels can be shared online. It is currently being released today or this week from the Nintendo 3DS eShop.
The Jackbox Party Pack, a compilation containing Flibbage XL, Drawful, Word Spud, Lie Swatter, and You Don't Know Jack, the 2015 version for the Nintendo Switch.
And if that isn't enough jacking boxes for you, you can also get the Jackbox Party Pack 2. Jackbox Games returns with five more comedic party games for the Nintendo Switch.
We're just not going to tell you what they are. Unimiko, Win the Cry, Question Arcs. Wow, that's not me just doing word salad. The official English release of Unimeko, When They Cry, that contains the entire question arcs, episodes 1-4, and new artwork with a revised script for PC.
Zero Time Dilemma, the third and final installment in the Zero Escape series until they realize they need another one, for the PlayStation 4.
Thumper, Bambi's Buddy, stars in a psychedelic rhythm game from two ex-Harmonix developers for the Xbox One.
Man, Disney is doing gritty reboots of everything. I love it. N++ is billed as the final iteration of the N franchise by Metanet Software, starring a ninja that needs gold to survive. It is a minimal and challenging momentum-based platformer featuring co-op user-level creation of boasts over 2,300 levels, and I can only imagine stars Uncle Scrooge.
White Day, a labyrinth named School, a remake of the Korean developed first-person horror game for PC and PS4, which means a little girl with long black hair will be in it.
Chroma Gun, a color-based first-person puzzler created by Pixel Mechanics for the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, a standalone story featuring Chloe Frazier and Nadine Ross for the PS4, and without Nathan Drake, everyone just goes, huh? Why?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So even though we told you like a couple of months ago that Daniel Craig is coming back to play James Bond, well, it wasn't official, I guess, because now Daniel Craig says Daniel Craig is coming back to play James Bond. But he's not doing the two movies like we told you a couple of months ago. Turns out that's a lie. He was on the Stephen Colbert Show and asked if he'd return for the 25th Bond movie. He said the decision had been made months ago. They'd been playing coy to figure things out. But then he's on Magic 106.7 and he said no decision about his returning had been made yet. But they worked on it. He's like, okay, look, yes, I'm coming back. I am. Easy. Daniel Craig said there's no point making excuses about it. 2 days after I finished shooting the last movie, I went straight into an interview when someone asked, would you do another one? And I went, no. Craig also said that his exact response at the time was far from ideal, but he made the decision to come back for one more film. His fifth and final performance is James Bond, November 8th, 2019. After that, Craig will never play Bond again. Well, never say never again.
Hey. Kingdom, Fringe, and 12 Monkeys alum Kirk Acevedo will be playing Ricardo Diaz, a.k.a. Richard Dragon, in the upcoming sixth season of the CW's Arrow. The DC comic series will reportedly boast several reoccurring villains this season, of which Richard Dragon is one. Michael Emerson is also playing one of them, but his role is secret for now. The character is a hardened ex-con, recently released from prison for crimes he didn't commit, and is bent on taking over Star City's criminal underworld. He also has a nearly unmatched martial arts skill. Arrow, of course, moves to Thursday nights at 9 p.m. on October 12th. So prepare yourself, for this October, you will enter the Dick Dragon.
Because I'm 12. Because I'm effing 12.
I know. I love it.
Marvel Cinematic Universe trails DC's Stay With Me. Wonder Woman may have already hit theaters, but there's still a solid year and a half before Marvel will have their own female-led standalone superhero film hit theaters, not including next year's Ant-Man and the Wasp and the Silver and Black, which is not part of the MCU. And all of the info regarding the 2019 Captain Marvel seemed promising. We know it's set in the 90s. It's got a young Nick Fury. That being said, the movie still has like, oh, 7 or so months. They'll need to shoot and do all that crazy stuff. Marvel originally hired Inside Out's Meg LaFoyve and Guardians of the Galaxy's Nicole Perlman to write the first draft of the feature, but LaFoyve is leaving to co-direct Gigantic for Disney, and they had to get somebody else. So they went to Geneva Robertson-Dworit, who I don't know. She's not a household name yet, but she's got a few big things coming up. The Dungeons & Dragons movie, the Tomb Raider film with Alicia Vikander, and the Gotham City Sirens. Oh, that's right. There are some big movies up there, and she's moving on to it. It's unclear if she'll continue the process with Nicole Perlman, but Marvel's looking for a fresh take on the initial script, so it makes sense if she do this thing by herself. Now, none of her scripts so far have been produced, so we don't know how good it could be, but come on, Gotham City Sirens. Given the number of big movies she's attached to, you got to be optimistic. A draft under the belt, solid 7 or so months to get it all done. We think we're on a good pace to get a solid flick. Captain Marvel hits theaters March 8th, 2019. Shazam!
Rhodes, where DeLorean Aerospace is going, we don't need Rhodes.
The manufacturer is building a 2-seat vertical takeoff and landing VTOL personal air transport vehicle. Founded in 2012 by Paul DeLorean, nephew of DMC-12 creator and documented fan of Colombian snowstorms, John DeLorean, the firm has its sights set on a real-life flying car, not so dissimilar to the fictionalized one that made the DeLorean famous in Back to the Future. Modified into a homespun time machine, not so dissimilar to the fictionalized one that made the DeLorean famous. Modified into a homespun time machine in the Back to the Future film franchise, the Gullwing Door DMC-12 sports car was the only model DeLorean Motor Company ever produced. About 9,000 vehicles were made back in the early 80s before production halted in 1983 following a weight imbalance measured on a handful of the cars, since 6,500 DeLorean motor cars are estimated to still exist today. The family tradition continues with what Paul DeLorean calls the DR7, built with a monocoque composite body, high-efficiency wing design, and tandem seating configuration. It's like an F1 race car for the sky, according to the company website. A short paragraph describes a zero-emission modern electric power system paired with a lightweight yet stable platform, and another touch on unique technologies for improving safety and functionality. There is no word on when DeLorean Aerospace expects to launch its flying car or how much it'll cost. One thing is for sure, however, Paul DeLorean is praying his Jetson-style innovation outlives the brief novelty of his uncle. Still, a sci-fi fantasy, flying cars may one day escape movie screens and book pages to make the real-life daily commute more efficient. Early this year, Uber reportedly hired a veteran NASA engineer with VTOL experience, and Orbit City began sales of its Liberty Pioneer and Liberty Sports flying cars and driving planes. Toyota, meanwhile, is eyeing an Olympic Games first, using the currently incomplete aerial SkyDrive vehicle to light the 2020 Olympic torch.
Begin the flying car wars have.
Netflix co-founder Mitch Lowe wants you to get your ass outside, or at least to a movie theater. They picked up the Movie Pass. You might remember those folks. Those were the ones you get unlimited movies for like $30 a month. Well, they're going to introduce a price that might get you out to the theaters. Subscribers can see one movie a day for the cost of a single ticket per month. For $9.95 a month, you get one movie ticket every single day if you want to. Now, it's going to work. You walk up, you hand them your MoviePass card. The movie theater will get paid full price every time you use it, not by you, by the MoviePass company. Now, doesn't that mean they're going to lose a shit ton of money? Yes. Yes, it does. That's why they've got a bunch of funding to make it happen, and that's why the $10 a month price means they're going to get your data, because that's where the money is. They're going to know what kind of movies you go see, what movies do you see more than once, and a ton of other things that we probably don't even want to think about. It shouldn't be a surprise at this point, because everyone wants to collect and sell your data, because that's the only thing that's worth anything anymore. MoviePass started in 2011 for $30 a month, and everyone's like, I can't do that, which is silly, because it's a great deal. But now for $10 a month, oh hell yeah. Our vision has always been to make the movie-going experience more affordable and enjoyable to our subscribers. We're changing the way customers think about going to the movies by making it possible to experience a broader array of films, from the latest summer blockbusters to a critically acclaimed documentary through a subscription model, this guy says. Now that, you know, think about it. That could lead people to actually checking out movies that might otherwise just slip by them. Now, even though the movie theaters are going to get paid full price, they know you got more money in your pocket, so concession prices will probably go up, but soon they will have financing available. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works Nice State 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go see us on youtube.com/geekradiodaily. See, I keep doing the stupid motion. You can see it. They can't, for the love of Jesus. Just imagine I'm slashing. Guns N' Roses style. Slashing, baby. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Have yourself a fan-freaking-tastic one, and we'll be here tomorrow to kick off that damn weekend and rock it.
Peace out, player.
Well, that went well.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
That was lame.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
What's the matter, freak? Can't take a little joke?
You're pathetic.
Oh, that's rich, coming from someone who runs around in the dark, wearing a cape and a mask.
We both wear masks.
Look at my face. This is who I am. My mask is permanent. You have a choice.
Made your choice a long time ago, Joker.
No! You did this to me, and you condemned me to that asylum like some bastard child that you refuse to take responsibility for! That's why you'll never kill me, Bats. You made me. Daddy!